Blog Talk Radio.
So very faithless and perverse generation. What do you say? Faithless and what else? What makes a man get perverted with our faith? What's perverted our Christianity? Faithless.
Don't say that profess that God has given you power, love, and a sound mind, and your mind is not sound. You don't have power to overcome your present situation and circumstances.
Now, the devil is always pushing. You can recognize the demons working because they always push to impetuous, immediate action. Don't think, do. And the devil says, if you don't do it now, you'll miss the opportunity. If you don't move now, if you don't sell now, if you don't jump now, it'll be gone.
And the kingdom of God is best expressed by authority and power to cast out devils.
Listen, dear friends, don't forget that little word he said, seek ye first. Come on, that's the secret right there, seek ye first. Seek ye first. Oh, I tell you, the average person said, seek me first. That's it, seek me first. Put me first.
Well, anyone who opposes the kingdom of God and the casting out of devils. Because when we're of God's kingdom, our sole purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. Our sole purpose is to cast down Satan's kingdom.
I can tell you whether you won souls or not, whether you get your prayers answered, whether you're happy or not, whether you got a happy home or not, whether you work killing in the church or not. I can tell you, if you love your time, and let me see how you start your day out. If you grab a cup of coffee and a newspaper and sit down for an hour and let the Bible go begging, brother, you're mixed up in worldliness.
The Word of God said, we're going over to the other side. And in the midst of the Word of God said, we are going over to the other side, the enemy showed up in the storm. And the first thing that the enemy did was challenge those who walk with Christ. Those who eat with Him and slept with Him and saw the miracle, the signs and the wonders done by Him. The first thing that the enemy did was steal the Word that they heard right out of their heart, and then allow doubt to rise up on the inside of them. And instead of believing what the Word of God said, they said, Lord, we perish.
Reading the Word that's going to give you faith, that isn't what He's talking about. It isn't just hearing the Word that's going to give you faith. You've got to open your spiritual ear or eye as you hear or read the Word and appropriate by faith. Make it yours.
That'll sober you up. That ought to melt your silly heart. I'm not interested in your feelings and your little silly sentimentality. I'm wondering about your love for Christ and compassion for others. Do you care? I'm asking you one question tonight. Do you love Jesus or do you love this stinking world?
But God wants us to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Deceiving ourselves. How many folks are deceived every single week? Going to hear what they call the Word, and it never once emboldens them or give them a desire or a passion to do the works of Christ.
We want just a bunch of sickly sentimentality, and we want to just fix up sort of a hiding place and a loophole for sinners to say, well, if that old cuss made it in, I can make it in myself.
The kingdom is within you, and the only kingdom that this world is going to understand until the King comes is what they see in us. Because now we are the only creatures that have the ability to walk in darkness and to walk in light.
How God's people go!
All right, shalom, shalom, shalom. Israel, hallelujah, hallelujah to our King and our soon coming King and Savior, Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus our Savior. How's everybody doing? Everybody doing well? I'm glad to hear. I'm going to wait for the reply because I know we're Israel and we're all fighting a good fight of faith, right? Yeah, hallelujah. Glory to the King. Appreciate the audio check. Well, for those of you who may not know, my name is Elder Becker. I'll be hosting tonight's Blog Talk edition, the Brothers segment. And if you're new, you know, welcome to the show. Hallelujah. The only reason I say that is because we usually have guests sign in, so I don't know if that's somebody that we know is already in the ministry or somebody new. But anyway, I hope you all doing well and encouraged and still chewing on the word from yesterday. Yeah, very important, very timely as always. Yeah, we have to discern and judge for ourselves. Are we Israel? Are we doing those things that are required of us as those that proclaim that we are of the kingdom of God, are of Israel, are Yah's chosen people? I mean, that is a high calling, is it not? Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Yeah, everybody's doing great. Glory, glory, glory. Yeah, I'm glad you love the intro, Brother Steve. I'm actually been threatening for a while to do another one, but it's just like time is always something that's, you know, there's no time for time, I guess you can say it that way. Anyway. Well, blessings to y'all. Hey, before I even go on, y'all, you know, lift up prayers for, of course, if you haven't seen the videos that Pastor Dowell and the brethren are back down there in the undisclosed location at Straightway, South Carolina, and they're going to be hitting it hard again this week. So, you know, pray to y'all, bless their labors and labor their hands. And, you know, they do a quick work down there because that is an immense job putting up any type of home, but especially the home that size, a lot of intricate things. It's a very detail-oriented job. It's a job that requires an incredible amount of thought, you know, especially if you don't do it every day. You have to recall the things and think about things. You know, it's like anything. The world calls it speed through repetition. You keep doing it, and you get better at it. But after a while, you're not even thinking about it. You just do it automatically. But, you know, we don't build every day, but we do definitely keep busy in building one way, shape, or form, you know, whether it be spiritual or natural. Anyway, tonight's message, you see the catchy title, you know, Salvation, Bank, and Trust. And actually, the truth is I had no idea I was going to go this direction. Not at all. It was about 3 days ago, and I guess the Father had something else for me to want to do because I was, it just kept coming a different way, so I just let it go, and this is came up the results of tonight's show, and I had so much here that it would definitely extend past 2 hours. I don't know if I'll get it all in, but we will try. But if I can premise this study at all, it's simply about, you know, it's a comparison about that, you know, the Father draws us, awakens us, and He expects dividends out of us. He expects a return on His investment, so to speak. And we're going to see what kind of profit we are in this life and what our reward will be for our labors in the life to come. So that's kind of where this is going. So, you know, the catchy title, it's like a, you know, a parody of, you know, that I'll just go ahead and read my intro and you kind of get the idea. But anyway, all right, here we go. And again, up front, thank you all for listening. And always, Brother Paul, for your diligence in keeping the saints informed, especially on my Blog Talk nights, because I know that I give an incredible amount of the word, but I like to let the word do more of the talking than myself. So I think you can all appreciate that, and I thank you for it. But anyway, with that, we're going to get started. All right. Salvation, Bank, and Trust. Our eternal futures are based on how we in this life choose to prepare for the coming of our Messiah and King. There is and must be a change in the way we view and process, the way we need to do things in order to lean not to our own understanding and leave these earthly ideas behind. You know, believe it or not, Yah is an economist. He believes in balanced budgets, being fiscally responsible. He definitely believes in just weights and measures. He believes in not spending foolishly with one's finances. He believes payment of wages in a timely fashion and many other things. But Yah is also a great banker. He knows how to run the biggest, you know, the corporation, the banking system. this sounds crazy, but just bear with me. You know, and honestly, he believes in savings accounts, balanced budgets. He He believes in marketing, making increase in return on investments. He believes in gaining interests, lending and borrowing, dealing with delinquent accounts, and yes, withdrawals. And we'll talk about that. But with that, we're going to go through each phase, hopefully here, and then some of this will make sense. You know, again, when I was doing this, it almost sounded like kind of, real simple, but I figured that, hey, maybe there's somebody that's in the room tonight that needed to hear this. So anyway, hallelujah. So with that, we're going to go. All right, we're going to start with marketing. Now, there's got to be something put out there to make us aware when we're still in the natural man, the unconverted man, that there was something else out there. So Yah's going to start with the marketing, all right? All right, John chapter 6, verses 43 and 44. John 6, 43 and 44. And not surprisingly, we'll be staying in the renewed covenant for most of tonight's broadcast. We'll be going back into the scriptures a little bit, but for the most part in the Gospels. John chapter 6, verse 43 and 44. And Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man could come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up on the last day. So right away from the beginning, everybody can identify and are familiar with that in the beginning there was a pull. There was I want to call it this spiritual advertisement out there, right? And the Father was knocking at our door, and he's telling man, he's drawing us, saying, look, I got a deal that you can't pass up, you know, because the Spirit of truth is knocking at your door, so to speak. So wake up. John chapter 14, verses 5 and 6. John 14, 5 and 6. Thomas saith unto him, Master, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So the Father's here. He's presenting to us an alternative. He's opening up our spiritual ears, introducing us to the Spirit of truth. As everybody can identify, when the Father drew you and called you out of this, the old life. Psalm 98, verse 2. Psalm 98, verse 2. And the Most High hath made known his salvation. His righteousness has he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. So the Father has made known his salvation. This is what, you know, if you're going to come to me, this is where the end is going to be. You're going to be have the ability to be granted salvation, but you're going to have to work for it. John chapter 10, 1 through 5. John 10, 1 through 5. And then in the same chapter, Brother Paul will be verses 14 through 16. So 1 through 5 and then 14 through 16. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth. And the sheep are the ones he's calling to, the Messiah, the ones he's trying to get their attention. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. You remember when the Father awoken you and he was calling you? Come on, everybody can remember that. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Hey, this is something I want to hear. This is something that I'm going to go after because, man, this is, you know, this is new, but it's right, you know. And the stranger they will not follow, but flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. All right, 14 through 16. I am the good shepherd, know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. All right, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Get a few more of these. Again, this is what I called the opening statement. So, you know, you weren't aware that there was this great savings institution out there, the Salvation Bank. So there's out here, there's this what I call the spiritual marketing. The Father is drawing you. He's putting out advertising. He's saying, look, man, I got something here, a deal that, you know, you just don't want to pass up. So he got to do is draw you, and he's got to speak to your mind, the spirit of your heart. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. John 6:35, chapter 6, verse 35. And I'm going to be going through this quite fast, so I hope you all can keep up. And Jesus said unto him, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Beautiful, you know, all these wonderful words. I remember when I first started, when Yah first granted me salvation, when he started sending his Holy Spirit, his Spirit of truth to me. And I, man, I couldn't wait to get off work, to get home, to start flipping the pages. I'd put everything off to the side. I would look, be in my Word 5 hours nonstop. And what I was amazed about is the fact that I had rarely no distractions at all. Nothing was, you know, I didn't have people call me on the phone like they normally did, or, you know, invitations to go do this, that, or the other thing. Yeah, it was a wonderful time just to get to know the one that was drawing me. Revelation 21:5, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. I'm sorry, 5 and 6, Revelation 21:5 and 6. And he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. So what we have so far is we got the Spirit of Yah calling. He's sending, he's advertising out there. He's saying, look, you know, in the marketing phase, because he wants you to know that there's an institution available that can actually benefit you instead of the junk that you're dealing in this, you know, your old life. So after he gets there, of course, now as in any business, you know, there's conditions and terms that have to be presented. You have to know what you're going to about to step into, okay? So we have the conditions and terms of the Salvation Bank and Trust. All right, John chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. John chapter 3, 1 through 7. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. And the same came to Yeshua by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher that come from Yah, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except Yah be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of Yah. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter into his second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of Yah. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. So this part of the terms of the conditions to enter into the kingdom of heaven, which I liken to the Salvation Bank and Trust. And we'll find out that the kingdom of heaven, that was which is within you. So here are the terms of the conditions. Here's what you need to expect when you're going to start being a part of this kingdom. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Key, repent. There must be some repentance. Renouncing of the crimes that we committed against a holy and just Yah, a recognition of our wickedness. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of Yah, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of Yah is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. So after we first came to the knowledge of the truth, now we have the conditions that we have to meet in order to be accepted into the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, become one of his little ones. This is just right at the very beginning. Acts chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. Acts 3, 17 through 21. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which Yah hath before showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted. Man, you got some changing to do. This is what this salvation is going to require. There are some changes that you have to do. Of course you repent. My blood is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient, but there is something that needs to be done. All right. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come for the presence of Yahweh. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which Yah has spoken by his mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. Remember, we're still dealing with the terms and conditions. Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. Revelation 3, verse 19. And Yahshua says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore and repent. So in this walk, that is the one thing that we hadn't understood from the beginning, is it is a life of repentance, because we are flesh. We still have to fight against the sin nature, the nature of the natural man, which wars against the spirit and spirit of our minds. And we do, because the goodness of Yah is what leads us to repentance in his kingdom. Luke chapter 9, 57 through 62. And it came to pass, as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Yahweh, I will follow thee wheresoever thou goest. So here's right away at the very beginning. You're introduced to the king, you meet him, and you know, you're going to make this pledge. Hey, Father, I'm going to follow you wherever you go, whatever you got for me, and so whatever we go through, I'm going to be there. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds have of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Master, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of Yah. And another also said, Master, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at my home. They didn't understand the seriousness of the terms and conditions. They had, they voiced it in their mouth, but their heart wasn't in it. They had things back behind them they had to accomplish and finish before they could set out on the salvation journey. Luke 9:62. And Jesus said unto him, no man, without exception, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of Yah. I mean, even these men, when they were first called out and introduced, they went to looking back right away. They hadn't been tested, tried, or anything. Their heart was already behind them. So much for the terms and conditions, huh? They couldn't even meet them in the beginning. Hebrews chapter 6. Let me see. Yeah, Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened or brought to the knowledge of the truth, and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of Yah and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of Yah afresh and put him to an open shame. So you're not going to go out there and put on the demonstration. Enjoy the things that the Father's giving you, and then decide you're going to go a different way, as we've seen so many others do in the past, and decide that, hey, you know, after this isn't a case of, you know, somebody backsliding. That's not what this is talking about. This is somebody that's totally just purposed in their heart, they're not going to serve Yah anymore, and then expect to come back and do this thing all over again. No, the Father is not going to allow the Messiah to put himself to an open. No, you're not going to do it at all. All right, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 through 39. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, that which is destruction, but of them which believe to the saving of the soul. All right. Luke chapter 14, 26 through 33. Luke 14, 26 through 33. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Not literally hate or despise, but, you know, not putting those things which you are supposed to be leaving to go follow Yah, like we saw back when Jesus said that any man looking back is not for the kingdom of Yah. This is he's saying the same thing. It's same thing. If you're going to come to me, follow me, these are the terms and conditions. You know, you need to not count or have love greater for your natural family. You're not drawn back to them more than to Yahshua. You know, so it's not a literal hate, but it is in a sense that you hate the things that they represent that you want no longer any part of. And that's including your old former life. He cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his stake and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower? Here's the terms and the conditions. Think about what you're getting into. Sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it. Lest haply after he laid the foundation, is not able to finish that, all that behold begin to mock him. And the only way that people can get the ridicule and the shame to subside, that those that have gone back, is the fact that they have to jump in back in their former life with both feet. Saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to war against another king sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 10,000. Consider the terms and conditions. Or else why the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth ambassadors and desire conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. So first the Father draws you through some spiritual advertisement, say, look, you know, like I said before, there's something better than what there is. I'm awakening your conscience. But then he sets before you, but this is the way this is going to be set up. You know, these are my terms and conditions. This is what you got to expect coming into this way of salvation. All right, but like any good business or any good bank or any good, you know, any good institution, all right, there's always free gifts for the opening your new account, you know, for, of course, the valued customers. So let's cover what them free gifts are, all right? Everybody likes free gifts. Doesn't everybody like free gifts? You know, come on, even in the natural, you've gone in and you know, you get, you know, an iPhone 6 if you bring Bobby Sue down here, or Billy Dunn. Sorry, Bobby Sue, help me, Jesus. Oh, my God, you know what I'm saying. If you bring, you know, your neighbor across the street down and they got a door prize for you because, yeah, I'm talking about stuff like that, just because you're going to invest in this institution. Anyway, Romans 6:23. Hallelujah. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of Yah is eternal life. Ha, that's one of the free gifts for opening this account, all right? But the gift of Yah is eternal life to Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus our Master. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive this gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Huh? Hallelujah to the King. John chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. John 4, 7 through 10. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, Jesus saying unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then that saith that woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Yehudim, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Yehudims have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of Yah, man, and who it is that saith, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. Just ask. You just ask for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, 7 through 13. Ephesians 4, 7 through 13. But unto everyone is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Yeshua, gift of Christ, the Messiah. Wherefore he saith, when he ascendeth up on high, lead captivity captain, and give gifts unto men. Now that he ascendeth, but what is it but that he also descendeth first in the lower parts of the earth? He that descendeth is the same also that ascendeth up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And these are the gifts he's going to give you. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For what? For your perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Yeshua, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of Yah, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 10, and then 28 through 31. Now there are diversities of gifts, or many different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Yahweh. There are diversities of operations, but the same Yah, which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal, to enhance yourself, okay? For to one is given by the Spirit and to be a benefit, more importantly, to the body. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy. Look at all these gifts, man. Look at all these gifts that are available. To another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongue, to another the interpretation of tongues. I mean, Yah said he loves a cheerful giver. So, of course, the Father what does it say in Hebrews, what, chapter 1? The Father of lights, who's from above, give all every good and perfect gift coming down from above, if I can remember. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28 and 31, ending on this. And Yah set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healing, health, governments, diversities of tongues, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, all workers of miracles? And the answer is no. Have all got the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. So desire the best gifts, the greatest gifts. You know, and as I was reading this today, I was looking back over my study here. You know, it occurred to me that some, you know, there's people out there, obviously, that I read this, saints in the body, and say, man, I covet this gift, or I covet this stuff. And remember, like I said, Yah's an economist. You know, he's also he's very wise in his decision making, obviously, because he's Yah, mighty Elohim. So if you're unable to receive a gift that you're asking for, you have to ask yourself that, you know, that maybe the Father's withholding this from me because you put something in the hand of a wise man, it's going to make him wiser. But if you put something in the hand of somebody that's foolish in nature and not unprepared, they're going to squander it. So it might actually be saving you to answer for something that you weren't ready for, if that makes sense. You know, that's just an opinion about something I was thinking about today, but maybe it's quite possible. He's actually preserving you. And when your heart gets right, then here will come. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the gift of the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Simple, that free gift, huh? And Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. If you then, being evil, that old nature, huh, something that sin nature that we were born with, you know how to give good gifts. I mean, that's just something into us to want to give to somebody, to, you know, our whole lives we've been not only, you know, that's something that we desire to do, but we've been actually trained to do through, you know, even through the pagan customs and traditions and rituals and, you know, and then just outside of that, because your first girlfriend or whatever the case may be, your first boyfriend, you know, just give gifts and make people happy, right? You know how to give good gifts, or you show your appreciation, or you show your thankfulness, or you're trying to just honor somebody for whatever it was, even, you know, before you came this way. Know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? All right, so we've gone through the marketing. We've gone through the term. We've read the terms and the conditions. We received our free gift. So now we're in the system, right? Now we're going to be in the system. Well, brother, it's a topic for another time. Hallelujah. I don't want to go into that right now, but you will know, because you have any gift that the Father gives to you. Well, first of all, you got to demonstrate it in faith, but we'll talk about that. In the system, or in the registry. So you're in the registry. Revelation 21:27. And there shall in no wise enter into anything that... No, Revelation 21:27, okay? And there shall in no wise enter anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So here you're in the registry. You've made the roll. You're in the book. You're on the account sheet. Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, my dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Most High, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eudeus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in Yahshua. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, which Clement also with my other fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. All right, Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. And to answer your question, quick going back, is it obviously that somebody else out of the mouth of two or more witnesses, every word should be established. So to answer the question that was there earlier, that is going to be one of the ways. And the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. And it shall come to pass that he is left in Zion, and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem. So you've gone through, the Father drew you, you've repented of your sins, you're being converted, you're born again of the water and the Spirit, and then your names enter into the book of life. And the object is to live just and holy, that the name is not blotted out. All right, now we got to learn how to make a deposit. We're going to be making our first deposit. All right, making a deposit. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. And Yahshua says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And the word treasure is the Greek 2344, thesaurus. It's from the Greek 5087. It means a deposit. It means that is wealth, literally or figuratively, treasure. So the word treasure means deposit. So lay it up, make a deposit in heaven. It's not going to get touched. It's not going to be corrupted. It'll be there. They're not going to have a bank holiday, and you won't be able to get it back. It's because you put it up in the glory. Hallelujah. The key to the whole of these three verses is found in verse 21, where Jesus tells us that where we choose to place our importance, i.e. those things which are of the most value to us, dictates and manifests where our hearts are really at. What truly is our focus in this life? That's a question you should ask. What is our focus? Are we so involved in all our fleshly in the future that we put less and greater emphasis on the eternal conditions we are to live in, or what's in front of us? Are we so preoccupied in providing an earthly kingdom that we put too much energy into surrounding ourselves with all those things which provide for comfort and cares in this life, rather than focusing and seeking first the kingdom of Yah and his righteousness and glorying all the things that will be added and will be and are added to us for the needs of the flesh man. Well, I don't know if that was type messy or what. Let's lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Let us do the works of our Messiah, healing the sick, casting out devils, showing forth good fruits, being ambassadors of the kingdom, whereby others may know of our real love for our Elohim and our brother. So laying up your treasures, putting those things up in the Shemaim. Luke chapter 12, verse 32 and 30-34. Luke 12, 32-34. And we are just smoking tonight. We're flying right along. Honestly, again, I didn't have any intent on doing any kind of blog talk study like this tonight, but this is the direction that I got pulled in and going. And the amazing thing is I know that it's supposed to be going that direction because stuff just gets put in my spirit so fast a lot of times when I'm in studying that I can't keep up. I got my little notes there, and I'm writing down things that come into my mind that I have to go back and look up, and I know they need to be put in there, but it comes in like a flood. It just, you know. So I just got to go with it, I guess. Luke chapter 12, 32-34. Did I just read that? Okay, well, I'll hit it again. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And it's something the desire of the Father. He wants to give you the kingdom. Man, don't fear. That is what his intent is for you. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old. Now you're sending up treasures. You're making a deposit of your wealth that is obtained by the kingdom of heaven up in the Shemaim. That kingdom that, where's the kingdom of Yah? It's within you. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupteth. I mean, it is the most secure facility that ever will be, okay? Ever will be. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. All right, Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Colossians 2, 1 through 3. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea. For as many as I have not seen my face in the flesh. So Paul's got this great wrestling going inside for him, that for these people that he's never even met, you know, that just that love for the body, for their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, man, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. All those whose hearts are comforted and knit together, unto all of them the riches and the full assurance of understanding belong to them, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of Yah and of the Father and of the Messiah, to whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You can't find it on this earth. Not that kind of wisdom and knowledge. The wisdom of this world is sensual and devilish, but the wisdom from above, descending from Yah. Watch you. Let me see. We're on a different chapter. I am going so fast. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 13 through 15. And Paul again says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Man, just quit being like the old nature. Man, be strong. I talked to somebody on the phone, was it yesterday or the day before, and they were, you know, bringing up all these things, and they can't, it's tough to, you know, like that the Christian, that Christian leeches, you know, they're still stuck to the skin, trying to pull them off. Come on, man, if you're an Israelite, man, you're a warrior, right? I mean, that's what Yah expects. We are warriors. I understand that those that were left back to guard the supplies, but to guard the women and stuff, because they just weren't physically able to go out and fight the battle. But I'll tell you, even they had a role of great importance. I mean, you know, if the enemy snuck around past the troops, man, you think about the responsibility of guarding all the goods, the stuff, and the women and children. Oh, boy. I don't know. I get off on that, but anyway. Quit you like men. Be strong. Let all your things be done with charity in love. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanophis, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That's what I was trying to get at, because they actually addicted themselves, and that addiction, that love for the saints, was sending up more treasures into heaven, making another deposit because of the love, the devotion they had, first and foremost for the Yahweh Elohim, because they had that care and love and desire for the King, that just trickled down and did the same for the brethren. All right, so we just got done making deposits. Well, of course, when you make a deposit, once in a while, anybody that banks, you know, you're going to make withdrawals for whatever the case may be. So making withdrawals, all right? Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 18. Mark 16, 15 through 18. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Of course, it's Yahshua speaking. And he that believeth is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So what I mean by making withdrawal, it's time to tap into the reserves that you've got laid up in store inside this kingdom of heaven that's within you. And it's time to manifest the power of Yah. It's time to exhibit and put your money where your mouth is. Okay? It's time to show that you were actually a disciple of the King. All right? You're going to pull out of the reserves and apply it. You're going to go out there and purchase yourself to even a greater degree by doing what you commanded to do as disciples and ambassadors to the kingdom, making more profit. Again, Matthew chapter 10, verse 7 through 8. Matthew 10, 7 and 8. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. And one more, Matthew chapter 7, 7 and 8. And it shall be given unto you. It shall be given unto you. All right. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, asketh. Everyone that asks, receives. And he that seek, finds. And to him that knock, it shall be opened. Sometimes that old English gets a hold of me a little bit. Let me see. A few more minutes. We're going to take a ministry break, but we'll go to the top of the hour. All right. Now we got investments. So we've gone through marketing, terms and conditions. We've gone through the free gifts. We've made our deposit. We've used our withdrawals. But now we got to make investments like any good bank. They have CDs. They have, not a natural bank, but anyway, they have things to offer where you can actually invest in programs, right? To enhance and make you bigger profits. Remember, the Bible says we are all together unprofitable servants. So you have to ask yourself, what in the world do we have to do as Yah's chosen to actually be profitable? You better think about that. All right, investments. Luke chapter 18, verse 28 through 30. Luke 18, 28 through 30. Here's some sound investments, sound money management, sound wealth management. Then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto him, verily I say unto you that there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of Yah's sake, who shall not receive manifold in this present time and in the world to come life everlasting. Come on, most of you that, in fact, everybody here in this ministry, in Straightway Ministry, I mean, you had no idea that you had so many brothers and sisters, did you, from all diversities, nationalities, and backgrounds. Man, you're meeting all kinds of family. Come on. You didn't know you had that many brothers and sisters, and you got homes to lay your heads in all over the entire, you know, pretty much the sphere of the globe, as far as we know, East Europe and North America, and all that type of thing. All right, Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Again, these are investments, the things that we put in so we can build a bigger profit for us, send up more treasures, but also enhance the body. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken. But the key is you have to give. That's a hard thing to do, I tell you. Even for those still in Israel, I honestly talked to a brother today. I don't even want to know if I want to call him a brother yet. Well, the man anyway, he goes through the whole shmuelich. I've been listening to Pastor for all I love his YouTube videos and listening for years. And, you know, and they have a special request. They were acquiring, they're asking something of Pastor, something that, you know, that they want him to do or whatever the case may be. And then you start to ask them that, well, brother, you know, hey, you know, Pastor's here right now, or, you know, he just spoke about this, or did you know about the home fellowship, you know, 20 miles from you? No, I never heard of that. I must have missed that one. No, I'm not familiar with that. So, you know, like Pastor said on Shabbat, they're not his pastors. They're just there for a bunch of questions. They're there to enhance their life, but they're not contributing nothing back at all to the ministry. And that's another question I ask them. You've been listening for 2 years. Have you receiving the word? You know, definitely it's the truth by your own testimony. So have you opened up your wallet? I mean, have you given an offering? Do you actually support the man of Yah in the ministry? Because you're being fed. Well, we need to be fed too. The labor is worthy of his hire. Well, you know, I was going to get to that. Yeah, me and my wife, we was talking about that. Ain't gonna talk. Come on, Pete. This country is so. Oh my God. Give to me, but I'm not gonna give nothing back. Jeez. All right, back to Luke. Did I read Luke 6:38? Yeah. So given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with all us, shall be measured to you again. This is spiritual promise. It's a promise from Yahshua. And the devil, you can't break it. The devil can't do it. Mark chapter 10, 17 through. Oh, that's a big one. Let me see if I'm going to read this whole thing. We'll probably skip a little bit, but it's about, as we were familiar with, the rich young ruler. That's true, Brother Ugly. Yep, just another example. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. And I'm not going to read it all, though. Again, it's about the rich man. But there's an importance here, too, because we're talking about investments, what you are willing to give up to get in back in gain. That's actually putting, you know, it's part of the sacrifice, is the investment of yourself, of your love for the King, your love for Yah's, you know, his people, and most importantly, the love for Yah. All right, starting verse 17. When he had gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is Yah. Boy, that probably got him rocking on his heels. What in the world? Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother, or bear false witness, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. Okay, so he's looking pretty sound. But Jesus is about ready to really test him. And then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Man, you're running short one thing. I can tell there's something going on here. It's one of the issues that people that have much abundance, even poor people, act like some of these times these dummies act like they're rich when they're as poor as dirt. Well, that's just the pride of man, I guess. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me. And hey, the Bible says you, the poor you always have among you, and blessed are the poor in spirit. I mean, that's us. Come on. So, you know, go ahead and sell all your tangible assets and everything. Give to the poor, give to the ministry so we can make distribution to the saints, and, you know, we can keep the ministry going here, you know, build places for people to visit, to stay and to come and help, you know, get the other works going around here. So give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. Come on, what a sound investment that is, huh? But you know the rest of the story. The man, this rich young, he got grieved. He just couldn't take it, man. He couldn't see past his own possessions, past what he believed that he was going to lose. He couldn't invest in the real truth, the real sound money, as what's his name says. What's his name, that syndicated goofy guy, the one that says gold and silver is a terrible investment? Dave Ramsey. Oh, don't get gold and silver. That's a terrible investment. Anyway, enough said about that. But anyway, we're going to jump down to verse 28, Mark chapter 10, 28 through 31. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and followed thee. So Peter, remember, the apostles just saw this whole demonstration, this thing, and they understood that this man here who had the opportunity to gain great treasures in heaven couldn't do it, couldn't walk away from his earthly possessions because they had him. So Peter sees this man, we left it all. You know, everybody knows that he had at least had a wife. She probably was living at the time because he had a mother-in-law that had a fever, remember? And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children. He lists family first, above and foremost, everything, the biggest pull there is, or lands for my sake and for the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold, 100 times more than what he's left. Now in this present time, he'll receive houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions in the world to come, eternal life. Come on, what was the tabernacle count last year? Passover, I mean. I know we were close to approaching 400, so definitely just these new brothers and sisters and mothers, you know, family, that exceeded it right there. So there was definitely 100-fold increase there. And we have lands and properties and houses to lay our head. Yeah. But many that are first shall be last and last first. All right, let me see it is. We might take a ministry break. Yes, we're going to go ahead and take a ministry break so y'all can recover and resharpen your pencils if you're taking notes, because we're putting a lot out here. All right, we will be back. And right after Sister Wanda delivers this ministry break, if I can find out where it is.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell Jr. That's Charles Dowell Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G. T-O-N, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, and Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E, 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell, Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. 3025. You may leave a message there, and, be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Glory to the King is coming. Oh, hallelujah. All right, back at it, man. We're talking about the Salvation Bank of Trust. Salvation, sure banking at its best and its finest. All right, we just got done with investments. Now we're going to go talk about how to gain interest, how you can gain interest on these investments, all right? All right, hitting right back at it. Here we go, Brother Paul. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 17 through 21. Paul, Proverbs chapter 8, 17 through 21. Yeah, Brother Paul, I talked to somebody today. He's not that far away from you, but unfortunately, he's on the other side of the bridge, if you know what I mean. So he was actually looking forward to meeting you until I asked him if he had a passport to get over there, and he's like, nope, I ain't got one of those. So he was kind of disappointed, but someday you'll get to meet him. He's good, sounds like a good brother. Anyway, Proverbs chapter 8, 17 through 21. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. This is how we're going to gain interest. Riches and honor are with me, durable riches and righteousness. These are the things that the Father has. Riches and honor are with him. That's a good point, Brother Paul. I didn't think about that. Let me see if I can set something up. Riches and honor with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the passive. I mean, come on, somebody knows the value of treasure, Yah, more than anybody, of course. He knows what is real, true treasure. That I might cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. And I'm going to put gain to those things, those that love him. He's going to give you gain. He's going to fill up your treasures that are in heaven, in Shemaim. Luke chapter 19, verse 11. Oh, you know we were going here. Well, we got to go through this whole one. So Luke 19, 11 through 27. Luke 19, 11 through 27. And as they heard these things, he had and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, because they thought that the kingdom of Yah should immediately appear. Because, you know, of course, they had Yahshua as the king. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come, until I show up again. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Ooh, boy. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded those servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Master, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. So not all the citizens hated him, but there were some in there that took the master seriously. Then came the first, saying, Yahweh, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little. You started with little, and you made much out of it. You made the increase. You actually showed gain and profit. Have thou authority over it? Come on, if you go to a bank and you put a deposit a large sum of money, everybody in there is your friend. They smile at you. They shake your hand. They call you by your, if you've ever been in that position. Now, most people haven't been, but if you've experienced any way, shape, or form, man, these people, the more you have, the more friendly, and the bigger the smiles are, because, man, they are making money, gain off of you. So we got this good, I mean, you're gonna be very much appreciated by that, and you're going to have authority over 10 cities, all right? And the second came, saying, Master, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said, likewise to him, be thou also over five cities. Wow, now that definitely is a game. And another came saying, Master, behold, here's thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. And, you know, when he's talking about the pounds, I don't know if I put the talents down there because it's pretty much the same thing. And, yes, I did. I don't know if we'll read it, but the premise of the story is the same. But, you know, when you're granted these things, say you're granted a gift in the body besides that which is already acquired as a disciple, casting out devils, healing, laying hands on the sick, healing the sick, and, you know, those things that we've been given faith and measure, but some of us have been given a greater measure of faith. Of course, Pastor Dowell, the greatest, because, you know, the gift of healing, Pastor Corey, that they've gotten these things in a greater measure. Well, they were given a talent of the gift of healing, and they've actually increased that talent, you know, tenfold plus. So anything can be, you know, a building skill in the natural or anything like that. You can start little and you increase it, and so you can be a benefit and a profit for the kingdom, the same way you can with spiritual gifts. It works the same way both ways. All right, and here's my pound, which I've kept laid up in a napkin. And for I feared thee, because thou art an austere man, thou takest up that thou laidest not down, and reapest that thou did not sow. So he had an evil eye towards, he was making this man, that the master, comparable to him, bringing him down to his level. So he was justified in what he was doing. He didn't have to lift a finger because the master wasn't lifting a finger, but that's why one's the master and one's the servant, isn't it? And he saith unto him, out of thy own mouth will I judge you. Your own words have condemned you, you wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere. I'm a hard man. I expect results. I expect that when I give you something, you better turn around and do something with it. That's how I had to go off far away. I had to fight to obtain this kingdom. And I've just been through a whole bunch. You know, I laid my life down for all of mankind. You better believe my demands are very sound, very firm, and that's the way it has to be. Taking up that I laid not down and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore thou then givest not thy money unto the bank? I mean, why don't you just put it, invest it? You know, at least something that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury, to gain a little bit of interest off there. Just simple. Just at least practice it in the littlest bit. At least try to promote the gift that you've been given, the pound, the talent, a little bit to make a little bit of gain, you know, and show some profit for the kingdom. And he said unto him, and he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. Because this man has already proven he knows how to take little, start with nothing, and make gains. So I'm going to go to the one. Remember, Yah is a businessman. He's an economist. He's the one that knows how to run the corporation better than anybody. He knows what it means to make it profitable. So give it to this person because he ain't showing no incentive, no talent, and I'm going to give it to him because I know we can count on him to do something with it. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not even that, he shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. And, of course, I have the account of Matthew 25 about the talents, but, fruit production, Brother Paul. Yeah. Yes, sir. I'm not going to go ahead and read it because it's long, but it's essentially the same thing. But please, if you're not familiar with it, if you're new or just want to read it again, because there is a lot there to chew on in them accounts about making gain and interest. Yeah, please. All right, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1 through 3. Man, we're going back in the old covenant. Isaiah chapter 55, 1 through 3, in the voice of the prophets. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy, eat, yea, come buy wine, milk without money. And, oh, man, how are we going to do that? We ain't got nothing to invest. What in the world? We can actually do that? Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? I mean, you're just spinning your wheels, a waste of time. How are you going to make You know, you're barely getting anything coming in, and then you're spending it on foolish things. I mean, we have to eat to survive, whether it's the natural or spiritual food. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness, because Yahshua is the prime example. This is how we eat good and we get fat, spiritually fat. Incline your ear, not fat and lazy, but, you know, to the full. Incline your ear and come unto me here, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. So you want your labors to be blessed. You want your bread, you know, to be increased. You want to make gain and get all these things that are necessary. Well, incline your ear and come unto the Messiah and hear. I mean, hearing means that you do. You don't just hear and not do, but you hear and do, and your soul shall live. All right, we're going to go into loans and lending practices, because every good banking institution has loans and lending practices, and especially the Salvation Bank and Trust. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 19 and 20. Deuteronomy 23, 19 and 20. Thou shalt not lend upon usury to thy brother. Oh boy, you're not going to give your brother something and expect to charge interest to get it back. Usury of money, usury of victuals, usury of anything that is lent unto usury. Unto a stranger thou mayest lend unto usury, but unto thy brother thou shalt not lend upon usury, that the master, the Yahweh the Elohim, may bless thee in all that thou settest thine hand to in the land whither thou goest to possess it. Have you ever seen someone that continually fails financially, fails, you know, has trouble spiritually, has can't ever seem to get ahead in life anyway? Well, this is possibly because they have this worldly mindset to try to make gain off their brothers in some way, shape, or form, whether it be for their own purpose, for their own benefit, and these people never prosper. In fact, they waste away, they pine away. Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 22, verse 25. If thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as a usurer, neither shalt thou lay up upon him usury. I don't know if Pastor, you know, of course he doesn't speak about a lot of these things, and I hope he isn't troubled that I mention this, but it's just a beautiful example of that, and I'll leave the names out, that there was somebody in need, and the ministry here, you know, because the faithful saints that support the ministry allow us to be able to, because we have, of course, a broader audience. Pastor has a much greater contact with people, obviously, and there was somebody in great need, and he gave, you know, it's not important the amount, but the fact is he gave to help out this brother, right? And no sooner, the next couple of days in the mail, he got a triple increase just on that little thing that he gave, just that gift. But again, there's Yah's promises again. So yeah, it does. And this was somebody that was poor by thee. So this was a perfect example of Exodus 22:25. Deuteronomy 23:20. All right. Leviticus chapter 25, 35 through 37. I mean, I remember in my life when, you know, like at a gas pump or something one time, you could tell there was somebody, I just got done filling my tank. They pulled up and the guy's on the back of his trunk counting change out, the father just sometimes just lays something on you, man. You got to, you know, because I've dealt with these, you know, some of these homeless people before, and some of these people are real, real jewels, you know. But these people are obviously in deep need, and I took most of the offering that I had left and asked the guy a few questions where he was trying to get to, you know, and he told me, and I knew what he had there, and, you know, fucking some change wasn't going to do it, and you could see he had three children, so... And I just gave what it felt so good. And I know I got that increase back so many times over, I can't even count it. But yeah, it does the heart good to know that you can help out somebody in need. Let me see. Did I read Leviticus 25, 35 through 37? I don't think so. Anyway. Okay, Leviticus 25, 35 through 37. And if thy brother be waxen and poor and fall in decay with thee, then thou shalt relieve him, yea, though he be a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with thee. And don't put nothing on him. He's having a rough time. He's in rough times. You're going to help trying to relieve him of some of this oppression and some of the trouble that he's in. Take thou no usury of him or increase, but fear thou Yah, that thy brother may live with thee. Thou shalt not give him thy money upon usury, nor lend thy victuals for increase. So if you're going to take advantage of the poor, you better look out. Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 5 through, let me see, 5 through 9. Ezekiel chapter 18, 5 through 9. But if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right, if he be just, and he does that which is lawful and right, and has not eaten upon the mountains, neither have lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel. So if you want to know what's, we already know what's lawful, but we also know things that he's talking about. Here's a good description of what is lawful and right. And a man that is just, one that has not eaten upon the mountains. I really don't know what that means. I never looked into it, but it obviously has some type of some wicked pagan custom or something, who knows. Neither have lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither hath defiled his neighbor's wife, neither have come near to a menstruous woman, and have not oppressed any, but hath restored to the debtor his pledge, and actually treated your brother fairly, hath spoiled none by violence, have given his bread to the hungry, and have covered the naked with a garment. Again, this, you know, and being here for going on, well, it'll be 17 years here this fall, that, you know, the amount that is very staggering, the way people are, that, you know, you'll they're in need, you give to them, and sometimes you never hear from them again. Sometimes, you know, they might, you know, because they promised to pay it back, and you'll never see another nickel. It's, you know, just one of these endless stories that you go on and on. And then we do have the faithful brothers, man, that, hey, you know, I'm having a tough time. I just need such and such. I can get back on my feet. And they're still in the ministry. They put first and foremost to, you know, put it back into the ministry again, because they're grateful. They're thankful that somebody was there to actually help them in a time of need, and showing it just by returning, you know, the offer. Okay, verse 8, and he hath not given forth upon usury, neither hath taken any increase, that hath withdrawn his hand from iniquity, hath executed two judgment between man and man. So in all these words in Ezekiel, talking about a just man, one that is lawful and right, he's talking about dealing honestly and fairly and not trying to make gain, and being responsible with your brother, being forthright, upright with him, especially when it comes to, you know, things that have hold value. Hath walked in my statutes, that kept my judgments to deal truly. He is just. He shall surely live, saith Yahweh the Elohim. All right. So in order to help us as the children of the King, and to help us ensure that we understand and know to, I mean, because any good businessman, now what he does is that in order to enhance the business, he has to take the employees, and he has to, he'll put them through classes, and of course in the banking in industry, and in our Salvation Bank and Trust, Yah has wealth seminars, because he wants us to be able to give him the increase, show an increase, and be a benefit to the ministry. And this is how he does his wealth seminars. He's looking to make a profit off your labors. Just remember the man that went to a kingdom and came. Yeah, he wants a return on his investment. He's investing in you. Now he wants a return on that investment. So he's going to offer us some wealth seminars, so we got some knowledge, wisdom, and understanding how to get this done. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Deuteronomy 8, verse 18. But thou shalt remember Yahweh the Elohim, for it is he, it is Yahweh the Elohim, it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. It is him, it's from his hand. He gives thee the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. So the father is going to give, it's in his power to get thee wealth, to do what? So he can establish his covenant, which he told our fathers, our ancient fathers. So again, it's for his benefit. It's for his profit, because he has, without a vision, of course Yah has a vision. He wrote all about it in a book, and we read that all the time. And he's going to make this happen. So if he's going to give, he's going to give you power to get wealth. He's expecting you to take that wealth and put it back into his kingdom. That's the reason he gave you the wealth, not to hold on to it, not to covet it, not to do whatever, but he's expecting you to put it back in. Psalms chapter 112, Psalms 112, verses 1 through 3. Praise ye the Most High. Blessed is the man that feareth the Most High, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation, the upright, shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. So the man that is going to increase in wealth and riches in his house, in his establishment, is a man that is fears the Most High and greatly and delights greatly in keeping Yah's commandments, his statutes, his ordinances. This is the one that's going to increase in wealth and riches. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 1 through 9. Leviticus 26, 1 through 9. You shall make no idols nor graven images, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto them, for I am Yahweh the Elohim. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am Yahweh the Elohim. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then, okay, now he's giving list of everything that we need to do to gain wealth, to gain treasure, to make a deposit back in Shemayim. He's giving us the rundown, right, in this wealth seminar. This is what you need to do. This is a surefire program, right? And verse 4, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. And your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time. And you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. And I will give you peace in the land, you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. And you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 you shall put 10,000s to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. Why is Yah going to do this? How is he going to do it? What's the reason he's going to do it? Because you're going to keep his Sabbaths, his statutes, his commandments. You're going to obey him. You're not going to worship any idols or graven images. All these things Yah promises, and he's going to give you the increase. This is how you're going to get the increase and be the benefit. You know, right now I don't know how many dozens and dozens of eggs we have. I mean, we have a good deal of chickens, but, you know, birds are supposed to lay every other day, but, I mean, obviously, you know, this shout out to Sister Jordan, that she's doing an exceptional job with the chickens, because you can see it in the abundance. We have eggs flowing, and, you know, the same with Sister Vicky and the greenhouse and Brother Rich, and, you know, we just have faithful Israelites that demonstrate that this is actual factual thing. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. And of course, I don't want to leave any book, because everybody here at Straightway, it definitely shows an increase whatever they lay their hand to do. And that's just the fact. But, you know, it's the things that, you know, like, because we give these things away a lot of times. I mean, for scripture study, the saints, you know, they bring up the produce, they'll bring up the eggs, and we'll bring up whatever just to bless the saints with, because Yah has blessed us and given us the increase that we want to bless the saints as well. And they do with us, you know, when they get a bounty somewhere, they bring it right on by, I'm telling you, and make distribution. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 6, 1 through 3. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and judgments Yahweh the Elohim commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear Yahweh the Elohim to keep all the statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, Israel, and observe to do it, that they may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as Yahweh the Elohim and thy fathers have promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Again, that you're going to increase mightily by doing what? Doing all those things that he commands us to do. Hey, that's probably one of the best well seminars there is, isn't there? Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11. Proverbs 13, verse 11. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. I mean, just something you're out there just because you want to make all this money and invest all your time in earthly matters. And it's going to diminish. It's going to disappear. But he that gathereth by labor shall increase. That's pretty cut forth. You got to get out and actually do something in order to get the increase. All right. All right. Now, of course, like anything, when you have a good thing going, you know, especially an institution that obviously shows an increase and a profit, is profitable, you know, it flashes its wealth, and because of, you know, its name is known among the nations. Well, you're going to have thieves try to break in and rob. So what we have to do is understand how to prevent a bank robbery. All right, so we're going to go with that, how to keep the thieves out of our treasures. All right. Luke chapter 11, verse 21 through 23. Luke 11:21-23. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. Well, who is the strong man? I mean, what's he armed with? All right. His goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. Well, the strong man is somebody that is stayed up, has their spiritual discernment up in through prayer and fasting and reading the word, and living a holy life, set apart lifestyle. These are the ones that are going to keep their goods, keep their palace. And they're going to be in peace. Things are going to be good because they're always spiritually aware and discerning. They're never letting their guard down. But of course, when they do, because there's always an enemy looking to break in and steal from you, steal your joy, your peace, your long, so, you know, everything that's a real jewel when it comes to the fruits of the Spirit, there's somebody looking to break in to steal that, right? And did I read? Let me see. Okay, and Jesus is talking about this, and he said, he that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth. All right, Mark chapter 3, verse 23 through 27. Mark chapter 3, 23 through 27. And he called unto them and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? Well, how can he do this? If a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and he be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, then he will spoil his house. And how does he bind the strong man? He puts him in a weakened state, a weakened condition. He's caught unawares, he's unsuspecting, and he can bind the man that was supposed to be armed and in charge of his house, and then this, the one that spoils the house gets a place in the house and gets to rob the goods. Matthew chapter 24, verses 42 through 44. Matthew 24, 42 through 44. Watch therefore, be on alert, be always looking, for you know not what hour your master does come. I mean, you know, that's just a fact of life that Yah may feel to pull the spirit of life out of you tomorrow, you know, and you don't know what hour Yahshua is coming. You don't know what hour your day of visitation is going to be. So watch, therefore. Be always on the ready, that strong man armed. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. He wanted to put Barney Fife in charge of the First Salvation Bank and Trust. Man, put somebody up there that knows what they're doing. Therefore, be ye also ready, for such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. All right, Luke chapter 12, verse 37 through 40. Luke chapter 12, 37 through 40. And Yahshua says, blessed are those servants whom the master when he comes shall find washing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second or watch, or the coming in the third watch, and shall find them so, blessed are their servants. And know this, and this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and have not suffered his house to be broken through. And like any typical bank robbery, sometimes you have the very elite, and they'll break in the middle of the night with the best of tools, you know, and you'll find out that something's been robbed and taken before anybody realizes it. Then you got the other ones that boldly come knocking right in broad daylight trying to gain entrance. You know, it's the same thing with the spirit world. That's exactly what they do. Some just come roughly. You can recognize them, and you can turn them away and thwart, you know, and not allow yourself, your house to get broke. But some of them, boy, they sneak in the darkness and they gain entrance. Be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when you think not. Revelation chapter 16, verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed he that watcheth and keep his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Let me see. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. 2 Corinthians 2, 9 through 11. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you. So I want to know, I want to prove you. I want to know that I can't be there right in your face, so I'm going to write to you because I need to prove you. I want the proof that you're actually being the saint that you claim that you are. Whether you be obedient in all things. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it for your sakes, forgave I it in the person of Yahshua. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And, of course, unforgiveness is one of his devices. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. But we don't want Satan to get an advantage of us, so do that which you've been commanded. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. All right. Man, I think we're going to make it, by golly, yes. Hallelujah. Me running my mouth 1,000 miles an hour, we were able to get through this. Now you may have to go listen back to it, you know, a few times to get it all down, but. Anyway, all right. And, well, you know, like anything, you have responsibility. This next step, of course, is once you've opened an account, made an investment, and you're putting things, you have a responsibility to keep this thing alive so you continue to make a profit, show a gain, and increase. But what you don't want to do, any sensible person doesn't want to be delinquent on their account or neglect those things, those treasures that he's also already put in the Salvation Bank and Trust. All right, Mark chapter 4, verses 14 through 19. Mark 4, 14 through 19. The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. I mean, he's right there. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And of course, once you hear the point of offense, you can't hear anymore. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. And what happens? Verse 19, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering and choke out the word, and it become unfruitful. There's absolutely going to be, nothing but loss in this condition. This condition is nothing but pure neglect. Allowing to get lured back into the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of the riches and the lust of other things. Luke chapter 21, verse 34 and 35. And Yahshua says, take heed. Pay attention to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares this life, so that the day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the earth. No exceptions. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews 2, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. So stay focused. You know, if you have to replay the Sabbath service over 5-10 times so it finally sinks in, you know, if that's something you should be doing anyway. And obviously the ministry puts out a great deal of information, so it's a round-the-clock job, you know. Hallelujah, but hey. It's for your eternal salvation. For if the word spoken by angels were steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Master and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? All right, Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to finish on this, Ephesians 4, verses 20 through 23. And Paul says, but you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after Yah is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So look at, let him that stole steal no more, but what? But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, not the bad thing, but the good thing, not the vanity thing, but the good thing, so that he can do what? That he may have to give to him that needeth. So that is your point. That is the focal point here. Get out there and labor. Do something so you can contribute. You can give where others have a need. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And, big thing, grieve not the Holy Spirit of Yah, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another and tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Yah for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Well, hallelujah, glory to the King. That is the conclusion of, I don't want to say short, but obviously a great deal amount of word study on a little catchy title, Salvation, Bank, and Trust. That wasn't my focus. That wasn't my intent. I had a completely different direction going, and it just worked out that way. But, hey, I hope you were edified. You got some learning out of it. Were able to hear something being said. Hopefully that it was for, you know, your edification, your learning. And, you know, I definitely always learn something. And you should. I mean, it's the word of Yah. How can you ever go hungry and not be fed having the word of Yah before you, listening to the word of Yah? Continue, because that's the thing that is going to bring us the great benefit, the great gain, and allow us to see our King and be a benefit for his kingdom as faithful ambassadors and disciples. But hey, thank you all for joining in. I always appreciate it. I'm the one that honored and privileged that you take the time to sit down and listen to the blog talks. And because, again, there's such a great deal of information that comes out of the ministry, obviously, that, you know, it's all for our good, all of it. Anyway, again, you know, keep always keep the keep each other lifted up, and more importantly, keep those that Yah has given us his gifts. Pastor Dow, Pastor Corey, Pastor Fox, you know, the elders and each other. Pray for one another always, because this is a spiritual fight. Everybody knows that. There's no turning back. We can't look back. We have to plow on. And when we have each other encouraging one another, that's how we get there. Anyway, bless you all. And, man, I knew I had something else that I wanted. Oh, yeah. Hey, y'all have a beautiful Shavuot coming up this coming weekend. The Feast of Pentecost is, we've learned the English translation, the Feast of First Fruits, Hallelujah, Yah's Holy Anointed Feast. Yeah, we have a good group of saints coming, as we always do for the feast days. So we're going to have a, as always, a real blessed time here in the fellowship and you know, honoring Yah is the feast that he gave us to keep his holy feast days. So, hey, y'all be blessed. Y'all be encouraged. And I pray that the Father grant you victory in every place in your life that you're seeking to get stronger. Anyway, be a gain for the kingdom. Put your treasures in heaven, all right, y'all? All right. Hey, blessings. The King is coming.